Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, team. James Edwards here. Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're coming to you live tonight, Saturday evening, June 11th, from our flagship radio station, our home studio, AM 1380 WLRM Radio here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We're going out tonight to our AM FM affiliate stations across the country, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, simulcasting online to a worldwide following at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Our website, and libertynewsradio.com. We covered a lot of ground tonight. We're going to continue to cover a lot during this, our third and final hour of this evening's broadcast. Got a story here that really blew my socks off. Every time you think you've seen it all, that it can't get any more flagrant, you see something that tops the last incident. And here it is this week. Federal judge bans prayer at a Texas high school graduation and threatens jail time to those who don't obey his order. Now, you're probably thinking that I'm embellishing a little bit there, that I'm exaggerating the extent and severity of this ruling, but I'm not. The war on God continues, and this story comes from Fox News. A federal judge last week ordered a Texas school district to prohibit public prayer at a high school graduation ceremony. U.S. Chief District Judge Fred Byerie ordered against the Medina Valley Independent School District and forbade them from students using specific religious words, including prayer and amen. I'm reading directly from a FoxNews.com article, ladies and gentlemen. The ruling, this is what you need to pay special attention to. The ruling was in response to a lawsuit filed by Christina and Danny Schultz. Schultz, huh? Another good Irish name. Their son is among those scheduled to participate in Saturday's graduation ceremony. Folks, pay attention to this. If you've never listened to a word I said before, listen to this. The judge actually wrote in his ruling that the Schultz family and their son would, quote, suffer irreparable harm, end quote, if anyone prayed at the ceremony. This Jewish family would suffer irreparable harm, this Jewish judge writes, if anyone prayed at the ceremony. This is the United States federal judge, ladies and gentlemen. This is the ruling that he gave. It said that students are banned and speakers are banned from using any religious language such as join in prayer, bow your heads, amen, so on and so forth. He ordered that they remove the words invocation and benediction from the graduation program. These terms shall be replaced with opening remarks and closing remarks, the judge order stated. His ruling also prohibited anyone from saying, in a deity's name we pray. He wouldn't even write the name of God in his ruling. Should a student violate the order, school district officials could find themselves in legal trouble. Judge Byerie ordered that his ruling be, quote, enforced by incarceration, end quote. Okay. You know, folks, if you were going to script a heinous ruling to be dripping with venom and hatred and contempt for Christians and Christianity, you could do no better than to have someone come up with a script written by this judge. So we have a lawsuit here against Christianity being brought forth by a family named Schultz. You know, first of all, Eddie, I wonder what Michelle Bachmann would say about that. In the meantime, some residents of Texas, now see, this is a story you would never hear about on any other show but this. There were some people in Texas that got mad about this, and it received some obscure local media attention. It wasn't a story. Yeah, FoxNews.com ran an article on it. But, I mean, all right, Eddie, you brought up an example. We have some Jewish schools here in town. Make a parallel example. Draw a parallel example and then ask yourself what kind of media attention it would have gotten.
Chime in on that, James. I was asking people at church. I said, comparing this story right here, no one at my church has heard about this story. No one's person has commented on it. Just like, folks, this is also the only show that I know of in the United States. I have not heard one peep about the Liberty this week. Now, I'm not going back to Liberty, but I'm just using that as an example because Zionist Jews tried to sink the Liberty, just like a Zionist Jewish judge ruled against a Christian school in Texas. Well, before I get into I'm going to go ahead and get into this comment I made to James on the break. We have a big Jewish school here in Memphis, the Morglin Hebrew Academy. And, folks, they have an American flag out there in their parking lot, but they also have an Israeli flag flying at least equal height, and it looks like it could even be slightly higher. But I ask you people, I want to ask you this. What if we had a school here in Memphis, a high school, and they had, just say, for instance, an Iraqi flag flying next to the flagpole, with the American flag? You think anything that would be done? There would be all kinds of cane raised about that. If we had an Italian flag or a German flag, God forbid, or a Russian flag flying in equal height to the American flag, be all kinds of cane raised.
And what about not to even mention a Confederate flag, a Christian flag? You know, you couldn't fly a Christian flag. You couldn't fly a Christian flag on the grounds of a public school. And I'll tell you this: what if though a judge ruled that Israeli flag had to come down? That would be the biggest news story in the world for a long time. And here you have a federal judge not just saying it's that kids can't pray at this graduation because this Jewish family filed a lawsuit. He said that they would go to jail if they prayed, and not a peep hardly anywhere. Thankfully, and I have to bring this up, a higher court almost immediately overturned this decision by the judge there in Texas because this matter was fast-tracked because it dealt with a graduation ceremony that happened last week. And so they had to get this through the courts quickly. This ruling was overturned, this initial ruling. But if it hadn't, there would have been no prayer. They would have gone to jail if they had prayed, because you have one family of malcontents there that don't like it. And again, as we said in the last hour, as we say every time we bring this up, not every Jewish family is about this stuff. There are exceptions to the rule, but the rule still stands. You know, there are good, hardworking, law-abiding black folks. They're not all, crime-ridden people. But, you still have to deal with the disproportionate majority of their population. And unsurprisingly, back to this story in Texas, the appeals court angered the Jewish family, the Schultzes, and they said that they were deeply disappointed with the overturn of the original ruling and would continue with their lawsuit to prevent the promotion of religion in high school graduation ceremony. Well, they're not concerned with religion. They're concerned with Christianity. And they're here in our country. If they hate Christianity so much, they can, go back to Israel. That's what I say. I mean, can you believe the gall that some of these people have, that this family had? We got to take a break. We'll be back. We'll be back. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. Please understand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're talking about a very, very serious manifestation here of judicial corruption. You know, another one of these black-robed tyrants legislating from the bench, saying that you not only could you not pray at this small Texas school's graduation, but if you did, you'd go to jail. Now, thankfully, it got overturned by a higher court, but there was no guarantee that was going to happen. If they had not heard the case or reviewed the case in time and this original judge's ruling had stood, that would have been the situation. You pray, you go to jail. Now, you know, here in the political cesspool, we're all for law and order. We don't tolerate or advocate lawlessness in any shape, form, or fashion. But in this situation, the only response that there could have been, that there should have been, would have been mass civil disobedience. Every student in that school, every parent in that school, and every teacher and administrator in that school should have, as soon as the assembly convened, stood up and prayed as loudly and as fervently as they could. And that's the only way that that situation should have been dealt with had the judge's orders not been overturned. But it just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, that this is what we're up against. And they're not going to stop with this defeat, that it was overturned. You can expect to continue to see more and more rulings like this in schools where you have one Jewish family that didn't want there to be prayer, that the whole student body, and in Texas and the South, you can guarantee yourself that 90%+ of the school's student body were Christians, and they would have all been hung out to dry because you got one family of malcontents, and it's going to continue. So, Eddie, you know, I asked you the question. Let's just say your church, for instance. Do you think your church would have disobeyed the judge's ruling and prayed? If a judge ruled that your church could not pray on Sunday, how do you think it would go?
I think they would obey the judge because, and I'll tell you right now why, because just like the Reverend Charles Baldwin, Chuck, who's been on our program several times in the past, like he said, they're dreadfully fear losing their 501c3 tax exempt status. So there's I don't think there's any way, James, that my minister, as much as I love him on the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's not going to buck the government. Because and I'll give you an example why I know that for sure. Well, I'm not going to mention. I had a lawsuit not long ago against this governmental organization, and I had a temporary victory. It's never, you know, permanent, but I'm not going to mention the organization that was fighting me. But he would not let me bring that up in my testimony in church. I wanted to tell him, I wanted to give the glory to God for holding this mighty organization off of me that was trying to ruin me. And he was afraid that he would bring down the hellfire and brimstone from the government. Another thing before I forget, James, we have listeners all over the world, as you know. We have a new one by the name of Mohammed Fadda. He is a journalist in Egypt, and I believe he's probably listening tonight. He said he'd like to come on the radio sometime. And also, I'm not sure, but we have another lady in Paris, France, named Karen LeJean, and she tunes in off and on, not intensively, but she tunes in. That's how she found out about what went on in Texas with the sheriff, Paul LeBeau, a while back. But anyway, I'd like to say hi to those people. Karen is a good friend of the political cesspool. I'd like to say hello to them. But and to go back again, James, at one time I would have stood up and defied the judge by myself. But I've learned, I've really had my nose bloody and been disappointed being in the various patriot organizations, the Campaign for Liberty for once. They're not going to stick their nose out. And especially, James, they would never ever stand with you against on principle. They would never stand on principle against Zionist Jews or against black. If they were afraid that someone was going to call them an anti-Semite or a racist, they would never ever back you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you're not a racist and you're not an anti-Semite if you're objectively criticizing someone. Okay, and that's all that we're doing here. I don't hate anybody. I really don't. I don't even hate the people who hate me. And God knows there's a lot of them. You know, it takes too much energy to hate. You know, I'm too lazy to hate. No, seriously. I mean, you know, I'm happy in life. I love life. You know, we do things by the book. We pay our bills. We pay our taxes. We do all this stuff. But, you know, it's not anti-Semitic to bring up that a Jewish family and a Jewish judge was responsible for this lawsuit in Texas. And it's not advocating lawlessness to say that it's a bridge too far for us to accept a ruling like that. When they say you can't pray, You know, you've got to do something about that. And I would have hoped that if the ruling hadn't been overturned, just to wrap this up, again, we're going to go to the phones, that the student body and the parents of that school, that there would have been strong parenting and that there would have been strong fathers and mothers, and that they would have told their children that we're not, you know, we can't abide this. This isn't about, you know, running red lights. This isn't about murdering, you know, not paying taxes. It's not about laws that are there for reason and laws that should be obeyed. This is something different. This isn't about violence. This is about praying. All right. Anyway, let's go to the phones here. And it would have been interesting to see, you know, would two or three people have stood up and prayed and then everybody else sat silently as they were, you know, led off to jail by law enforcement officials who would have undoubtedly been on hand had this ruling not been overturned? You know, I don't know. Or would they have all stood up and done the right thing? It would have been interesting to find out. And I fear that we will find out because, as I said, rulings like this will continue. We got a couple of callers and we got to quickly get to them because we got more ground to cover tonight and other stories to get to. Tim in Arkansas. Tim, you're on the line.
Hey.
Hello, you're on the air. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, what's going on? You doing okay, James?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
Well, listen, man, I wanted to I didn't know if you'd heard Miss Ann Coulter on the book survey, you know, on the book signing tours that she's been doing on broadcast. She was on Rush Limbaugh, and then she was on another show too, where she was actually talking about you know, this kid Jared Loughner that went crazy in Arizona.
Yeah, right.
And then she inadvertently mentioned Jared Taylor's name, talking about him. I don't know what was up with that. I guess she must listen, read his Amarin website all the time or something. That's probably where she gets most of her ideas.
Yeah, you know, she's a carnival barker. There's a lot of things that she says that we can agree with, but she's basically there to promote herself and sell books and make money. And, you know, I think when push comes to shove, you know, we can't count on people like Ann Coulter to be in our corner. But nevertheless, you know, I didn't hear that interview that she did with Rush, so I don't have a frame of reference there.
Well, let's see. I'll give you an example how it goes. Thurgood Marshall's one of her new heroes now.
Oh, Thurgood Marshall's a hero of Ann Coulter's now? Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is what you get out of you know, so-called mainstream establishment conservatism. And, you know, that's well, that's very much a shame.
Really,
but, you know, that's kind of been the theme of the night. I mean, that's what you get everywhere out of leadership.
Things you got to get on with. But, you know, she was talking about, you know, the liberals and how they use mob violence. Now, I don't know why she was talking about that, other than the fact that there have been so many mobs, you know, these flash mobs and these flash robberies that have taken place probably over the last 2 months in the United States. She didn't mention them specifically. But that had to be what she was referring to, because there's really nothing else that's been taking place that she could really compare it to. But you know, she really didn't come right out and say it, that unruly blacks, you know, were, you know, dispossessing white people of, you know, areas that they had at least, you know, sometimes gone to, you know, be that a water park or a mall or whatever.
Yeah, well, we certainly cover all that stuff, but again, that's normally a bridge too far for Ms. Coulter. But thanks so much for the call, Tim. We got to go to break, but it's always good to hear from you, and we're going to take another call from Pennsylvania on the flip side. Stay tuned.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. If it's the last we'll go back to the telephones. James Edmonds, of course, here with you, hosting tonight, as I always do. Eddie the Bombardier Miller co-hosting with me tonight. Of course, you know, we've got a couple of co-hosts in the infirmary right now. Winston Smith dealing with problems related to his hearing, and Bill Rowland has got a medical issue as well. But thankfully, we're four deep. We got a basketball lineup here in the political cesspool. We got five players on the floor, me, Keith, Eddie, Bill, and Winston, and that makes up the hosting staff. So out of five people, we're normally good to get two in the studio at any given time, but Of course, Eddie's a valued and trusted member of the staff here, and he's co-hosting with me this evening for the second and third hour. Quick last final wrap-up thought about the situation in Texas before we go to the phones. The Schultz family, the family that brought forth this lawsuit that the judge originally ruled in their favor, saying they'd suffer irreparable harm if they had to be subjected to a prayer at school. Well, they were aided in their lawsuit by an organization called Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And so this organization aided the family in their efforts to bring forth this lawsuit. You might be interested, though, to read where they stand on another similarly related issue. We know that this organization was with them to get them to ban prayer from school. But here's, well, I'll just cut to the chase. In Oklahoma, they fought on behalf of a Muslim group so that they would not have their religious freedoms infringed upon. And it says here that... And this is the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. They say, I think we all know that Sharia law has no chance of taking over Oklahoma. The entire incident has been a sad example of politically motivated religious intolerance. Eddie, if that is not the biggest double standard you have ever seen, the same organization that aids this Jewish family to get prayer outlawed in school says that the state of Oklahoma ruling against Sharia law would be a sad example of politically motivated religious intolerance. Now that, my friends, is the height of hypocrisy.
You know what, James? If it just seems like it's, you know, we're living in a twilight zone sometimes. I can't figure that out. It's just the biggest hypocrisy there ever was. I just can't imagine that. You know, that kind of hypocrisy. But here's where I think the motive may lie, James. The motive and a lot of people that run this country right here, what they want to do is stir up strife amongst the people, the different races and the different religions. And right now they're down on the Christians real hard. And everybody, all the Christians, even though they worship the Zionist Jews, you try to find a Christian that likes a Muslim. And getting these, you know, favoring Muslims like this in the public and pushing the court system to give them special rights, they know that's going to inflame Christians. I mean, it inflames me, but I see the game that's going on. But even bigger than that, James, there is a tremendous hatred for Jesus Christ in the world right now. You know, you can talk about God, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about like when you're talking about in church, you can talk about God all day long.
Generically,
yeah. But you say Jesus, and that's a whole different story. You cannot bring up Jesus in the conversation, or you will be attacked, vehemently attacked. And whether it's Zionist Jews, the same problem we keep going back to. I mean, let's face it, folks. I mean, who crucified Jesus? I mean, it wasn't an Irishman, but you know, and it's still going on today. We're just hated. Everybody hates a Christian. Everybody white hates, especially a white Christian. You know, Jews hate us. The Mexicans hate us. It's a fact of life. But so that's why the two reasons why they're sticking up for the Muslims out here in Oklahoma. Number one, they like to start strife, and they like to side with anyone who hates a Christian.
Well, we're going to take a quick call now from Anton in Pennsylvania. Anton, thanks for being patient.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Thanks for being
patient. How are you doing, James? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, cool. Hey, listen, guys, this is a little off topic, but I've been meaning to call you for a while now, and I apologize this has been brought up again. But I'm calling if you guys heard anything regarding Edgar J. Steele and his situation.
No, I haven't. I mean, you know, other than what I've seen on the Internet, I hear that according to his side of the table, that they've denied him a fair trial in several different aspects, and that
right.
I mean, basically he's still in jail, and it doesn't look good. I mean, it doesn't look like he'll be getting out again this lifetime.
It was because of him that I first turned into your station. It was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He was a guest, and I really liked your program, and I've been listening ever since.
Yeah, he came on the show several times. He sure did, and always had some good things to say.
His book, Defense of Racism, should be read by anybody and everybody. And I just thought that people I don't know out there that this guy has been really framed hard, and he was, you know, went to jail supposedly for a conspiracy to murder his wife, and now she's the one raising money for him. And like you said, he's been denied all kinds of fair trials. And I just thought that maybe you guys knew something more besides that, and maybe I just thought people out there want to know that, you know, there's a fund set up for him, as well as you can donate money, or you can, you know, email his to his website with political, what is it, conspiracypenpal.com, I believe it's his website.
Yep, that's one of them, right? Sadly, I don't know anything more than what I've read. I don't have an inside track on that story.
Okay, well, you guys, I just thought I'd ask, maybe that, you know, you guys probably know a lot more than more people out there. So I just figured I'd give you guys a call.
Yeah, normally we know more than everybody on everything, but on this one, Anton, regrettably, we're mere mortals. But, you know, we certainly hope that justice is done and the truth is found in that case.
Well, anyway, say thanks a lot for taking my call. You guys have a good night.
All right, thank you so much, buddy. Thanks for your support of the program and for your support of our work. Eddie, you were here last week, and we're going to shift gears now for the final segment and a half of the program. You were here last week when we talked about the issue in El Paso, where they've got, you know, El Paso has a very close proximity to the gracious Spaniards in Mexico, and we jokingly call them gracious Spaniards, folks, because that's what Eddie's church calls them. They don't call them illegal aliens. They don't even call them what most liberals call them, and that's what migrant workers or undocumented workers. They call them gracious Spaniards, as if they are actually Spaniards from the European nation of Spain, and not Mexican or Hispanics or whatever. Anyway, the gracious Spaniards in El Paso are defecating and urinating all over the streets there. And I'm not talking about some back alley. I'm talking about streets a block away from the convention center and all these big tourist hotspots in El Paso, Texas. And it's illegal aliens from Mexico who are there trying to find work and do the jobs we won't do, and go to the bathroom in places we won't, you know, we refuse to go to the bathroom, apparently. But anyway, it was a pretty big story in El Paso, and at first the city passed the buck. They said, well, we can't do anything with them unless somebody catches them in the act. And then so a follow-up on this story was that somebody actually sat there and recorded them, doing their business in the street. And if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can click on a link and you can watch the video. They have, you know, the private parts of the gracious Spaniard blocked out, but it's there, and you can see what's going on this newscast. This isn't some, you know, YouTube, you know, vulgar video. This is a newscast. And so this is what's going on. And so they're turning the streets, the gracious Spaniards are turning the streets of El Paso into a public toilet. And Mayor John Cook said he wasn't going to do anything unless someone was caught in the act. Well, that's what happened. A fellow was leaving a doctor's office in downtown El Paso when he looked across the street and saw a man squatting down near a building. My first concern was that he might be ill or hurt. So when I turned around, I saw that his pants were off. This was a professional photographer that saw this, Eddie, ran into this, and he started snapping some pictures and some video. And it looked, it looked like he was, this is according to, I'm reading from the local affiliate there, one of the local TV affiliates. It looked like he was defecating at the time. Everybody's passing by, especially women and children. We actually have a picture of this on our website, ladies and gentlemen. And so he knew from the previous story that he had to catch this gracious Spaniard in the act. And so that's what he did. And he called 911 and waited for an officer to show up. And the officer showed up. And what does he do? What does the police officer in El Paso do? He cleans up. He washes the gracious Spaniard, finishes business, and then he cleans it up for him and throws it away. Or he has the gracious Spaniard clean it up, and then the officer throws away his waste. Eddie says he thinks that was his pastor moonlighting as a police officer. I don't know if the officer actually wiped for the gracious Spaniard or what, but we got to take a break, and we'll figure it out. Hang on, everybody. We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to.
place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. So back to this story. We're going to end on it's still a serious note, but a little bit lighter note than some of the other stuff that we've been covering tonight. So we got this problem in El Paso with the illegal aliens, or gracious Spaniards, as Eddie's church calls them. And they're just, you know, they're going to the bathroom all over the roads. They're not potty trained. And so it's a big problem. And it's creating, you know, literally a cesspool in the streets there. And it stinks and it's diseased and it's all this other stuff. And the citizens don't like it. But the city government there said they can't do anything unless they're caught in the act. So this photographer catches them in the act, starts taking video pictures, sends it into the news agencies, calls the cops. The cops come, and they clean up the mess for the guy, throw it away for him. And then, so the city finally gets tough on it. They say, we got the idea. We know what we're going to do now to get rid of this problem. You're not going to believe, folks, what they're doing to correct this problem. But as we always do, we back up everything we say on this show with references and facts. So if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and go to our article entitled Illegal Aliens Need to Be Potty Trained, you will find out from a major television affiliate station what the city government in El Paso is doing to correct this problem for its citizens. The city of El Paso, the mayor and board of aldermen, are going to issue a proclamation saying that the residents, the citizens that live in that neighborhood of El Paso, they're the ones that have to go out there and clean it up. That's the city government's idea of taking care of the problem. You got illegal aliens here, and they're defecating and urinating in your city streets, and instead of arresting them, deporting them, doing anything with them, sending the garbage men, sanitation workers out, no. They're sending letters to the neighbors saying that they've got to clean up the mess themselves because it's in their neighborhood. I mean, did you catch that? The city of El Paso is forcing its own residents to clean up this mess rather than the illegal aliens who are making it. Now, this is diversity at its finest. Illegal aliens, or gracious Spaniards, if you will, are enriching us with the multicultural experience of getting to clean up their feces and urine, something we certainly wouldn't be able to enjoy if they hadn't come here in the first place. Folks, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And again, if you go to the website, we got pictures, we got links to the video of this happening real time. Check it out. And Eddie, I just got to tell you, you know, tomorrow Sunday you'll be going to church. You got to tell your church about this, because I'm sure they'll hop on a bus, get out to El Paso, and help the gracious Spaniards. Do you think your church would go out there and volunteer to go on a mission trip to El Paso? Which is basically a third world country now in and of itself, which is where most mission trips are scheduled to go to. Do you think your pastor would clean up this mess, you know, to help the gracious Spaniards out so they don't, you know, catch a hard time for it?
It wouldn't be a big leap for me to think that, because, you know, only recently, I think this year, maybe last year, they stopped going down to Mexico, taking the youth down there, because as you know, the Mexican border down there is one of the most dangerous places in the world. I guess second only to the Congo. But, you know, I was wondering this, James. Maybe, I think he probably would do that. Maybe what they should have done, the authorities, so-called authorities in El Paso, maybe they should have just singled out the dog owners, because they're already scooping up the dog. You know, they had to care a little, especially in New York. You know, you have to have a little pooper scooper if you walk your dog in New York. I was up there recently, back in April. And I noticed the people that have their dogs, they have these plastic bags, they have these little scoops and stuff. So maybe, you know, maybe they could hire these folks, James, pay them a little bit, you know, $4 or $5, maybe give them some gift certificates from Target or something. Maybe they would volunteer to go out there and scoop it, because after all, they've been scooping it for their dogs. What do you think about that, James?
Well, I got to ask something. I'm sure it's something that everybody listening to this show tonight is wondering, okay? You know, we've been talking tonight primarily about infiltration of the church, subversion of the church, the courting of political correctness and cultural Marxism in the church, and some of the agents who are making this happen. Eddie, we know that you don't hide your candle under a bushel. You adhere to the word of the good Lord, and you don't hide your candle under a bushel. Everybody in your church knows your beliefs. They know that you're an outspoken co-host of this world-renowned and award-winning radio program. I just got to ask you on behalf of the audience that, as I say, I'm sure are wondering, do you have any friends at church? How do they respond to you?
Well,
because, I mean, Eddie goes every week. He doesn't just go to church every Sunday. He goes on Wednesday nights. He helps with the church supper. I mean, Eddie's a true believer. I mean, but, you know, but he doesn't just go there and shut up. He talks about politics at church, too. So, I mean, what's the reaction?
Well, sometimes it depends on if I'm slamming the Gracious Spaniards or the Zionist boys. You know, I have one friend there. He's a cop. I won't give his name out because he'd probably have a stroke if I did. Because I post all kind of these articles on all these articles that me and James have been talking about, these stories, I send them to all the members of our church, including our pastor. And I used to take little Kroger sacks full of documents and pass them out to people at Wednesday, let them read it. And pretty much what I get is just, I get this stone face of disbelief, the jaw droppers. One fellow who's a friend of mine, ex-cop, he told me he was right-wing, but he said, Eddie, he said, You're just too extreme. You're just too damned extreme, and but he couldn't define extreme, James. But I gave James another example tonight of something I said one night when people were talking about in church. They always want to accuse Obama of being a Muslim, and but you know I said he's not. He's not. I gotta shift out of this real quick, like. but anyway, yeah, I've said some pretty heavy stuff there, James. And, you know, I'm kind of surprised they hadn't kind of asked me to leave at times. But believe it or not, I'm pretty much loved there. And a lot of people, and I think two reasons. I think, one, I'm getting kind of long in the tooth. And they probably think, well, the old guy, you know, he's just kind of losing it now. He doesn't really know what's going on. We're going to take him to teach him to get him to his car. I guess we'll start driving him pretty soon because he's going to leave his license. But another reason, James, I think that probably if I had to bet, I'd say at least 70% of the church members feel like I do, but they don't want to buck the hierarchy, the bishops. You know, they don't want to buck the minister.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, this is a show. We really have love in our hearts. I have to say it from time to time because you know we get treated so unfairly by the media, and this is the truth. I mean, you know, we don't hate anybody. We don't hate anything. I mean, we certainly love our country and we love our family, and because we're so motivated by this love, we stand up and speak out even at our own expense from time to time, and you know, public shame in the more genteel circles, if you will. But you know, these are things, it's all about objective criticism. It's not about undue ranting. It's about objective criticism and just the facts, you know. And, you know, we want to see the people who are part of the problems, as we see, we want to see them come to know Christ. We want to see them come to be part of the solution. We can, you know, we pray that they'll turn and see the light. But if they don't, we're certainly not going to shut up over here. We're going to continue to point out these truths and let it go. I tell you, you know, people always say, we hate this, we hate the other. If we're hard on anybody, we're hard on our own people, you know, for allowing that. We're harder on our own people. You know, I think we're harder on white Christians than we are on anybody. And it's just, you know, like a stern disciplinarian, you know, kids who normally turn out to be the best are ones that have fathers who don't spare the rod. And so we, you know, we point out these things. I mean, it seems like we're hammering Eddie's church, but we're doing it all in good nature. But listen, there's some problems there, and we want to see it fixed.
And folks, I'd like to tell you this too. You know, you've probably been told that in order to be a Christian, you have to mix with this race and that race and what have you. I'd like to take you back to Joshua. And probably in Numbers, and, you know, when the Israelites were wandering before they got to the Promised Land, and even if they did get to the Promised Land, the King James Bible backed me up on this. God told them, do not give your daughters in marriage. Do not take their daughters in marriage. Don't give your sons in marriage. Don't take their sons in marriage. He was talking about the Canaanites because the Canaanites were anti-God. They weren't for God, and he did not want the godly people to mix. So hey, I'll feel the same way. But you show me in the Bible where it says you have to mix, you have to marry another race to be a Christian. It is not there.
Well, and the only people who still practice apartheid, if you will, and the only people who still practice segregation are the Zionist Jews. And I'll tell you, much to their credit. You know, there's some things that they certainly do right. I wish we had their domestic policies, and I wish we had their kind of sense of loyalty to their people. There is much about the Jews to be admired and to be copied and to be mimicked. And, you know, we could certainly take a lesson out of their playbook on some of these things. And I just wish that they would use a lot of their talents and resources to our benefit rather than to our detriment. And, you know, that's another story, you know, wish in one hand and, you know what, in the other. But anyway, we're out of time tonight, everybody. We love you. Listen, God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being a part of our audience tonight. We'll be back with you next Saturday night here, as we always are, on the Political Cesspool Radio Program. For Eddie Miller, Keith Alexander, Bill Roland, Winston Smith, our entire staff and production crew here in Memphis and in Utah, LNR. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be right back.